It doesn't seem right, somehow, to applaud as a life ends. But in this case, we must make an exception, because I'm offering my own standing ovation to Virginia Weffenbach Kettering, who died Monday at the age of 95. What a life she had! What a person she was! And what a legacy she leaves! Bravo! Charles Kettering may have invented the automobile self-starter, but his son Eugene married the human equivalent. Virginia Kettering gave approximately $150 million to charity. She also gave of herself, persistently and purposefully. And on a cold day in the fall of 1982, she gave me just what I needed, just when I needed it. As a writer for the Dayton Daily News, I pulled the plum assignment of interviewing Mrs. Kettering for a Sunday magazine feature. Not only did she agree to talk, but she invited me to her place for lunch. Several of my colleagues recommended that I trip and fall while on the property so that I might get a share of the Kettering fortune myself. I laughed politely, but in truth I was quite nervous about sitting down for a meal with such a distinguished person. What to wear? What fork to use? What questions to ask? What if I spilled something on her? Or myself? Then, a few hours before the interview, I was reading through the newspaper's files on Mrs. Kettering when I ran across one small fact that put me at ease. She was born in Kentucky, just like thousands of other Dayton area residents who migrated from Appalachia in hopes of a better life in the big city. I wonder if anybody ever called her a briarhopper. Anyway, I figured that since she was from Kentucky and I from Tennessee, we could communicate. I walked extra carefully up the sidewalk and rang Mrs. Kettering's door at the appointed time, and Robert, an older African-American gentleman who worked for her, answered the door, took my coat, and led me to Mrs. Kettering herself. She graciously explained that they were in the middle of some major cleaning, waving toward a stack of rolled-up rugs in the room behind her. "I hope you don't mind. We'll be having leftovers for lunch," she said apologetically. The table was already set with silver and china and cloth napkins and soup, bread, and salad. Of course I didn't mind leftovers. I don't remember what kind of soup it was, but it was delicious. And it was hot. As the steam from the soup, combined with the dust from the rug cleaning, rose up my nostrils, I began to sniffle, as discreetly as possible, but I knew that before long I'd have to blow my nose, or sneeze, or both. I reached for my pocket, hoping to find a tissue, only to realize the dress I'd chosen so carefully for the occasion had no pockets. I listened intently as Mrs. Kettering talked, nodding as appropriate, while my sniffles increased steadily in frequency and intensity. Finally, just as I was about to dab at my nose with the corner of one of Mrs. Kettering's fine linen napkins, uncouth but better than letting it drip into the soup, she recognized my problem. "Robert, I'm afraid we've stirred up a lot of dust with our rug cleaning. We need some tissues." By the time she'd finished the sentence, he had the box on the table, and Mrs. Kettering pulled out a tissue and handed it to me just in time to catch the sneeze I could no longer hold back. And being the absolutely classy dame that she was, she took another tissue for herself and sneezed along with me. After the story ran, a young Dayton socialite told me about her own first encounter with Mrs. Kettering. It was at a big formal event, and in getting ready for the evening, this young mother couldn't quite get her dress zipped all the way in back. She had intended to ask her husband to help her, but in the rush to get children fed and makeup on and hair done just right, she forgot all about it, until Mrs. Kettering came up to her at the event, put her arm around the young woman and said, "Here, let me help you with that," as she reached around and pulled the zipper up. I don't know what they're going to put on her tombstone, but "Here, let me help you with that" wouldn't be a bad choice. I left Dayton not long after that, and never encountered Mrs. Kettering again. I see by her obituary that she was active and involved with the city until the end of her long life, and that her survivors include her two daughters, her daughter-in-law, 9 grandchildren, and 19 great-grandchildren. To that list I would make one small addition, and the city of Dayton, Ohio, which now must rise to Virginia Kettering's challenge and go on without her. Tissue, anyone?